The assignment for Jesus and his teaching is the reading of the four Gospels. And I would like to ask you a lot of questions, and please be responsive. And from your response, then you and we can understand how much we are familiar with the four Gospels. The time is very short, so we have to utilize every minute, try to do our best to study his words. Jesus Christ is relevant to our daily life, even though he was a historical man. He was born 2,000 years ago and lived a 33 years life. And he was crucified, he resurrected, and he ascended to heaven. But he is relevant to our everyday life. In John, he has self-introduction, the seventh I am. When he say, I am the bread of life, he did a miracle to correspond this saying. He multiplied the bread to feed 5,000 people. It's really a miracle. And Jesus proclaimed, I am the light of the world. And he did another miracle to correspond this proclamation. He healed the blind to regain the sight in John chapter 9 or something, right? Jesus is the light of the world. The next one, Jesus is a good shepherd. Before the end of last section, I ask you a question. Where can you find security? Where can you find a sense of a peace? Where can you find it? You see, in States, insurance is quite important. Without insurance, a lot of people was not there to drive a car. Because once you get involved with accident, then maybe all your savings will be gone. So you have a medical insurance, you have the car insurance, you have a house insurance, you have life insurance, a lot of insurance. But does all this insurance really make your heart have peaceful mind? Yes, it maybe give you a lot of some of the sense of peace, but not the 100% of peace. How can we have a feeling of secure, a feeling of peace? I think the answer cannot depart from Jesus Christ himself. When Jesus looked into a great multitude who tried to follow him, Jesus sympathized them because they were like what? In according to Mark chapter 8 or chapter 7. Jesus looked at a lot of multitude follow him. Jesus sympathized them because they were like a sheep without shepherd. So in the eyes of God, people in this world are like a sheep without shepherd. You know, if the sheep without shepherd, the sheep get lost. Nobody will guide them. A sheep without shepherd, under attack from the animal, nobody can protect them. A sheep without shepherd, if they are in want of grass and water, nobody can provide. A sheep without shepherd, if they are wounded, nobody can heal. And Jesus proclaimed, I am the good shepherd. This is trying to illustrate our relation with God, with Jesus Christ. We are the sheep, and he is a shepherd. That is a very beautiful assurance that you don't have to worry because I am the shepherd. Psalm chapter 23, a very beautiful psalm. Now, 11. What is the first verse of Psalm chapter 23? Yeah, Jesus is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. How about the second sentence? Pansai. Yeah. Who can say? What is the second verse? Psalm chapter 23, second verse. Huh? He makes me lie down in the green pastures and how about the next one? He lead me beside the still water. Yeah. Some of you are very familiar with this verse. If you really have Jesus as your shepherd, you shall not be in want. Maybe you are not very rich, but your life is guaranteed. You shall not be in want. If you look into the experience of Israelite, 2 million of people travel in the wilderness. If they calculate first, 2 million people, and each day they have to eat 3 meals. And each meal, each one bowl of rice. And then we have to travel for 3 months and multiply, add up all together, hundreds of tons of food. Where can they get so much food? If they did really get so much food, how can they transport the food out of Egypt when they are running from the pursuit of Egyptian soldiers? Well, how can they run away? So they came out of Egypt only simply believe. God wants us to do so. Follow God's guidance. And they left Egypt. Who feed them? It's God who feed them. And God's feeding to the Israelites in the wilderness is miraculous way. For 40 days, for 40 years, manna came down from heaven. 40 years. They did not plant. They did not harvest. And every day they have food to eat. And when they have no water to drink, the rock will flow the water. When they did not know where to go, the pillar of the cloud, the pillar of the fire, guided their way. And 40 years, their shoes are never worn out. Does anybody of you have wear your shoes more than 5 years, originally? Nobody, right? And 40 years, their clothes are never worn out, never torn out. That's a miracle. Why that's a miracle? Because they are under the great shepherd of God. God provides their needs. The same thing happened in the New Testament time. When Paul was called by Jesus Christ to serve him, he said, even though I have nothing, but I have everything. Have you heard about anybody coming this way? I have nothing, but I have everything. He said, I have nothing. He was empty-handed because he was a tent maker, just barely support his own life. So his pocket is always empty. But he has everything. When he was in need, God had a miraculous way to arrange and to provide his needs. Even I'm poor, I can make a lot of people rich. Only Bill Gates can make a lot of poor people rich. How can the poor people make a lot of poor people rich? How can Paul make a lot of people rich? Because of the gospel he proclaimed, so that the people can come to know Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. So Jesus Christ make them rich. He is a good shepherd. Once we have Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about your life. Even though you are not very rich, but you shall not be in want. And this is the reason we feel secured. Or this is the reason we feel no worry. It is not because we have a lot of money, so I don't worry about the future. No, it is because I have Jesus, so I don't feel worry about the future. And that is a difference. And that is a tremendous difference. If your security is built upon the accumulation of material gain, then you have to work very hard, extra hard, because nowadays, after you work in a company, yes, you receive high pay. The son will say the pay is very high, right? But you look into your house price, almost double and triple. The son will say you buy a house, you can go to Dallas or Houston, you can buy 4 to 5 houses. So you receive a lot of salary, but your house, that the mortgage payment will consume most of your money. So when you make some calculation, most of your money will gone. You receive more, you spend more. So how can you accumulate a certain amount of money and you feel secure? It's very difficult. Even though you work in your whole life, you bail to pay off all your mortgage. That's all. So that kind of security, the feeling of security coming from the abundance of Jesus, coming from the promise of Jesus, because He is a shepherd. He cares about you, and He will provide your needs. So simply because of trusting our future to Him, so we feel secured. In the Old Testament, who killed the lion as a shepherd? In the Old Testament, who killed the lion? Huh? David, right? Yes. So Jesus is a shepherd. Once we have Jesus, He will protect you. Because He is a shepherd. So in this world, under the protection of Jesus, you have peace. Do you know Jesus mentioned that a sparrow, it costs only a little bit money. If God did not allow, even a sparrow will never fall down. Even the hair, God count your hair. So when you take a bath, all your hair come out because Jesus allowed it. But the Bible said without the if Jesus did not allow, even one hair, it will never come out. So that means everything, everything happened to you. It's all because Jesus allowed it. In His almighty God, He guard around you. He sent a lot of angels to protect you. So if you have that kind of feeling, Jesus is with me, you feel very peaceful. Yes, the one you love me can give you some kind of certain type of protect, but can never follow you all the times, right? Your parents, your spouse, when you are the car accident, all of a sudden happen, you cry, my husband, where is your husband? Still very far away. Or my parents, your parents still at home. But when you cry, my God, Jesus Christ, and He is coming to protect you. So He is a good shepherd. He will take care of you. So you see the experience of Peter. When he followed Jesus physically, he was so scared about death. At that time, he did not really have the feeling that of security. But after Jesus' resurrection ascended to heaven, he was filled by the Holy Spirit. He was really had the feeling that Jesus was with him. The great shepherd was with him. So he was arrested and thrown into the jail. He can fall into a sleep. It's not easy. While you are in jail, you can fall asleep. You see, you come here, you are not coming to jail, right? You come to the church. Last night, do you have good sleep? It's difficult. And Jesus can have a good sleep. Peter can have good sleep because his heart was very peaceful. So he is a good shepherd. His is our refuge. He can protect us. So it's relevant. Jesus is relevant to us. Can make us a sense of security and safe. I heard many testimonies. Even some of us among us have this kind of testimony. When you are really in desperate, try to looking for a job and pray and eventually God provide you with a good job. So you experience, if you have Jesus, you lack nothing. He is a good shepherd. You shall not be in want. John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. John chapter 10, verse 7 and 9. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enter by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find the pastures. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate. Door is a place lead into a building. If your car door is locked, you can never get into your car. If your door in your house is locked, you can never get into your house. About 2 weeks ago, in the Sunday evening, about 11 p.m., there was a sister knocking my door. What happened? After you come at 11 o'clock, and I opened the door, she mentioned that she went out for laundry and lock the door key inside the house. So she was unable to get into the door. And she tried to borrow the phone to make a phone call, try to get another key from her friend. So the door is a crucial point to enter a building. And Jesus said, I am the door. A door leading into a place. Where is the place? It's the kingdom of God. Do you want to go into the kingdom of God? Surely. And where can you go into the kingdom of God? Jesus said, I am the door. I am the gate. There is no other way. There is only one way. You can go into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ. So the first proclamation of Jesus' gospel. What was the first proclamation of Jesus' gospel? What was the first proclamation of Jesus' gospel? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, right? What was the first proclamation of the message of John Baptist? If you don't know, that means you did not read the four gospel yet. This is a very simple one. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Jesus Christ is trying to bring the kingdom of God into the world. Somebody asked Jesus Christ, where is your kingdom? And Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is in your heart. The kingdom of God is not only in the heaven, in the future you are going to go. The kingdom of God is in your heart. And how can you go into the kingdom of God? Jesus said, I am the gate. He is the only one way. You can go in. And in Romans chapter 14, talk about the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but in what? Did you look at the Bible, or you can remember that? Then you are very familiar with the Bible. You can find out in 2 seconds. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but in the righteousness and what? Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So how can you live a very blessed life? How can other people envy? Look at your life, are very envy at you. The answer is you need to let the kingdom of God fulfill in your heart. Fulfill in your family. Because once the kingdom of God fulfilled, there is a righteousness. Righteous means without sin. The second, there was a peace, very atmosphere of tranquility, and very harmonious relation between your family members, peace. The third is joy, the joy. So if the kingdom of God fulfilled in your family will be the most blessed family. Then how can you let the kingdom of God fulfill in your family, in your heart? The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the gate. There is no other way you can get into that that kingdom. So when a family has problem or marriage has problem, people tend to look into different kind of books, try to find the answer. But eventually you will find out the most useful book is the Bible. Only the Bible can let you know Jesus Christ. And He is the gate. So He will lead us into His kingdom. And His kingdom referring to the eternal kingdom. In Hebrew talking about the far better homeland which Abraham was looking forward to. And Jesus is the gate. So even Abraham, Isaac, they died for 1,000 years already, but they are still waiting. They are still waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ so that they can inherit the eternal kingdom together with us. So they are not in the eternal kingdom yet. They are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So He is the gate, not only for the people in the New Testament, but also for the people in the Old Testament. All the human beings are waiting for the second coming of Jesus, and that day will be the day of eternal salvation. So He is the gate. It's very, very important to us. The next saying of self-introduction, John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Verse 25. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live." Jesus proclaimed, "I am the resurrection, I am the life." Today, if you see a person walking in the supermarket and shouting aloud, "I am the resurrection, I am the life," how do you feel? Very pitiful. I'm very sympathize his father. How come he delivers such kind of a child? All right. So if anybody shouting, "I'm the resurrection, I'm the life," everybody will thought this person is out of mind. But this sentence has been recorded in the Bible for 2,000 years. Nobody tried to erase this verse. So Jesus has only, you can only make a choice. Jesus is an ordinary person, or what? Jesus is God, or Jesus is a what? Crazy person. There are only three multiple choices. You have to choose one. Is Jesus an ordinary person? I don't think so. Right? So there are two possibilities. Jesus is God, or Jesus is a crazy person. Right? If Jesus is insane for 2,000 years, he cried, "I am the life, I am the resurrection," and we still believe in Jesus, then we are the most foolish one. So many people, more than 1 billion of people have been cheated by this one. Is that possible? He has been teaching to the people in the history for 2,000 years, because he is I am the resurrection, I am the life. If you don't think we have been cheated by him, then this is true. Nobody can erase this verse. I am the resurrection, I am the life. We change it to another angle. If any doctor proclaim, "I am the resurrection, I am the life," I think this doctor has problem. You go to any doctor, any very capable doctor, one day, they will shake their head, say, "I do my best. I feel very sorry to the family member because this patient is dying." Nobody in the world can claim, if you see me, you will never die. Nobody. The only Jesus said, if you come to me, if you follow my words, you will never die. Because I am the resurrection. I am the life. Especially when Jesus made this proclamation in the house of Nazareth. Because Nazareth had died 4 days. After he made this proclamation, there is a test immediately to come. You say you are resurrection. Right now is a dead person for 4 days. So there will be the test whether what you say is true or not. Even the Nazareth sister tried to push away whatever Jesus said. He says, yes, in the future he is going to be resurrected. And Jesus said, no, now I'm going to let him be resurrected. So there's a difference, the knowledge of faith and the living faith. Everybody, if we ask you a question, do you believe in the future you are going to go to heaven? Everybody say, I believe. You raise your two hands, right? You have faith. But when you are sick right now, if we say, do you believe, if you pray, your sickness can be cured? I don't know. Right. So that kind of living faith. That is the reason our experience about God's grace is not so abundant. In this civilized society, when people are sick and start to pray, while they are praying, they keep on thinking, if after prayer my sickness was not cured, which hospital is better? Right? That's a common sense, right? So while they are praying, they keep on searching a better physician. But some of the Africa, they lack a lot of profound Bible knowledge, but their faith is very simple. When they're sick, they shave their hair, bald-headed, and carry a mat to the church, and pray 2 hours, tired, lie down 3 hours. Get up, pray for 2 hours, and lie down 3 hours. Continue to pray for 2 days, and wrap up the mat, and go home. Totally cured. So Jesus Christ in Africa is the same with Jesus Christ here. And how come they can experience that kind of power? We cannot. The difference is the faith. So when Jesus proclaimed in Nazareth's family, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Yes, in the future, we are going to resurrect. Jesus said, now, take me to the tomb. And the sister said, no, it's best male already. Jesus said, no, I'm going to make him resurrected. And he prayed to God and called upon the name of Nazareth, and he resurrected. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He made and Nazareth coming to alive from death. How come this is so relevant to us? How come? Because Jesus is in control of life. So your believing in Jesus will make sense. If Jesus cannot control your life, then your believing in Jesus is futile. Today you fast and pray, no use. Go back home to have fun. Don't have to be here, because Jesus has no power to control the life. So the eternal hope, the final hope, most essential hope as a Christian is resurrection. And after the resurrection, we will be transformed into spiritual body and to inherit the eternal kingdom in above. So this is a very important proclamation. We human beings are in a dilemma. We don't want to die, but eventually death is coming. If you don't look about the last 10 or 20 years of human life is good, especially living in the United States. But if you look into the last stage of the human life, you feel everybody is pitiful. Really, everybody is pitiful. Before you die, you have to go through aging. Right? When you are an infant, you cannot take care of yourself, your parents take care of you. But when you start to aging, you return to the like an infant. You need your children to take care of you. That's a painful experience. And eventually you are going to die. After you die, everything finished. So when Jesus proclaimed, I am the resurrection, I am the life. How wonderful this is the message. So anytime When death comes, we are ready to face death. Not because we are not afraid of death, but because Jesus is alive. He gives us the hope of eternal life. So this is a very essential proclamation of Jesus Christ. If eternal life is in the world, do we like it? Not mention about eternal life. If Jesus say, okay, I am going to let you live for 200 years, do you like it? Anybody like it? Raise your hand. Jesus say, I am going to give you 200 years to live. Anyone like it? Raise your hand. Nobody? Are you sure you don't want? If you don't want it, how come you try to discipline your physical body? Alright. Everybody like longevity. But you can see when a person live to the age of 100, most of people lie down on bed in the age of 100. Most of people lie down on bed. And your parents have you around in the age of 30 to 40, right? About 30 years in one generation. When you are 100, you lie down on bed. When you are 130, your son lie down on bed. When you are 160, your grandson lie down on bed. When you are 190, your great-grandson lie on bed. And the son of your great-grandson come back from work, you have to feed everybody. Right? Sometimes I will change the diaper for them. What kind of life that will be? That kind of life is like a curse. Right? So if the eternal life it is in this world, and nobody like it, nobody dare to have it. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am the life. What he's talking about? It is a future resurrection. Transform your body into spiritual body, just like him, will shine the glory of God, and will elevate you into the eternal heaven. Not the worldly in this world, material world. This is really a good news, a good tidings for everybody. So if you are afraid of death, Jesus is the answer. If you want to enjoy the longevity, Jesus is the answer. Those who believe in Jesus will last forever, will never die. So that is the longest life. In the Bible, who is the longest one? Who lived the longest life in the Bible? How old was he? 969. Another 31 years, he will live 1,000 years. Right? But in the eyes of God, 1,000 years just like one day. Very short, very short. You believe in Jesus, you're going to live forever there. You see, when Jesus transformed his figure in the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses appeared together with Jesus. Moses died before Jesus' time. How long? At least 1,600 years prior to Jesus' life. A person died for so long, 1,600 years. Everybody already forget it. But still can talk in God's kingdom. Elijah talked together with Jesus. That means in the kingdom of God, there is no death. There is no death. And there was a brother in New Jersey suffered from colon cancer in the third stage. The doctor predict he can only have 10% of possibility to live to live 2 years. So he know he is dying. One day I sit down and talk with his brother and I ask him, are you afraid of death? He give me a very honest answer. He said, no. Why you are not afraid of death? He said, I already enter into eternal life when I believe in Jesus, when I receive the Holy Spirit. So far, I have been in a full-time ministry for so long. This is the first one I see so confident about eternal life. When death is approaching, no scare and no worry. And waiting for the death to come. Because he knows Jesus is alive. Jesus is the resurrection. So today, Jesus is relevant to you. Some people say, I want to believe in Jesus, but let me enjoy my life. After I reach to the age of 60 or 70, I'm going to believe. So they just push eternal life very far away. It seems tens of years away, but it is not. If today you drive your car out, somebody hit you, and you die, that is the beginning of your eternal life. So eternal life can happen any moment. So Jesus said, I am the way, the resurrection. The next one, John chapter 15, verse 15. John chapter 15, verse 15. John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Before we go into this topic, let us think about a very common question. How can we change ourselves? How can we change ourselves? Sometimes you will feel disappointed, right? Because you want to change your somebody, and you find out somebody did not change. The husband wants to change the wife, very disappointed. The wife wants to change the husband, very disappointed. The parent wants to change the children, very disappointed. How come it's very disappointed? The reason is because even we are very difficult to change ourselves. How can you change others? So if you try to change others, definitely you are going to be disappointed. So human being is very difficult to change. How come we are so difficult to change? Because the life quality inside us, the human nature is corrupted. After with Adam sin, we human nature, we are corrupted. It's sinful nature. Human nature is composed of some kind of sinful nature. So that kind of nature, if we cannot change that kind of sinful nature, you cannot change yourself. No way. No way. Maybe you can change your lifestyle superficially for a short period of time, but eventually the old habit will come back. Because without inner renewal, it's very difficult to change your outer lifestyle. When we want to change others, or we want to change ourselves, eventually you will find out the answer is Jesus. So if you find a person, a very bad personality, very bad character, and you want to change the person to become better, what is the answer? Bring the person to Jesus. Let the person know Jesus. Let the person connect themselves with Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the true vine, and you are the branch. If the branch connected with the vine, the trunk of the vine, the life will go into the branch, and the branch will bear the fruit. That is the most fundamental way. When you are young, you have your own dream. You try to find a good spouse and build up a good family. That's a common phenomenon. But if you go according to the statistics, 50% of the marriage will end up in divorce. And that is a statistics. Nobody is sure nowadays in the society, nobody is sure whether my marriage can last forever until we die. Nobody is sure. Why? If you look into some kind of statistics, nowadays, the reason of divorce is what? Irreversible incompatibility. How beautiful legal term. So this is a very civilized term. But if you come into the Bible, if your marriage has a problem, that is indication of your spirituality has a problem. The problem of your spirituality. So there is no so-called incompatibility in the church. No way. Because if you really connected with Jesus Christ, your life has been transformed by Jesus Christ. You have the likeness of Jesus Christ. How can it possible your marriage will end up in divorce? Oh. Suppose your wife is enemy, okay? And what did Jesus say? You have to love your enemy. You have to pray for your enemy. How can it possible you are divorced? Oh, it's impossible. So any marriage end up in divorce. That is indication the problem of your spirituality. Oh. Some people try to proclaim the blood type of A, B, C. And different blood type has different character. And this will become part of the criteria to select your future spouse. But if anybody have a very good relation with Jesus Christ, everybody, the blood type is Jesus type. No problem. So feeling is changing, do you know? You feel I like him, I like her. Yes, not right now, it's right. But 10 years later, your feeling will be changing. Nobody will remain as he or she is forever. Everybody is changing. So without God, there's no guarantee of your marriage. So I just feel a lot of people are so bold to marry a person without God. But if I want to put it more clear, it's blinded by love without seeing God. So the most secure way to secure a very happy ending of your marriage is to connect it with Jesus Christ. I am the true vine. The more you close with Jesus Christ, the sweeter your marriage will be. Truly. So one day you get up from your sleep, you look into your spouse, you will never say, if I make a decision again, I will never marry you. You will never have this kind of feeling. If you connect it with Jesus Christ and your spiritual life is growing, you look in your spouse, you feel, I make decision too late. I want to make sure early to get married earlier. And that marriage is successful. How can you have that kind of good marriage? Jesus is the true vine. And you are the branch. Connect with him and everything will be good. Because your nature will be changed. Not only you have new human nature, you have the divine nature. James chapter 1 says we will be rich in faith. What does that mean to be rich in faith? To be rich in faith is not only the blessing. To be rich in the faith is not only referring to the future glory. To be rich in faith also being the partaker of divine nature. To be rich in God's nature. So you look into the person, he looks like a man, yes. But if he close to God every day, spend time to be with God, you look at him again, he is not only look like a man, he will look, have the likeness of God. Because divine nature will feel upon this person. So that is a fundamental way to solve the problem. Change the quality of your life. How can they do it? There is no other answer. The only answer is Jesus. I am the true vine. Do you know? I am the true vine. Nowadays, it's very difficult to discipline our children. I'm still trying. Experiment. I think the best way is to bring our children to get connected with Jesus Christ. That's the life of Jesus Christ to flow into their heart, to be filled by the love, by the compassion, by the humility, by the holiness of Jesus Christ. And then their nature will change. Then surely they will bear the good fruit. So Jesus is the answer of your problem. You know? He is irrelevant to everyday's life. Not only in the future, but now, today, now, your current issue. Jesus is the answer. Now that come back, we lost one. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through me. Jesus proclaimed, I am the way. The way is to lead a certain destination. If you come from Los Angeles to San Francisco, what is the way? The way is I-5 and north. If you take the I-5 south, you can never reach here. There was a brother, a real story. There was a brother in Los Angeles, a newly baptized brother from mainland China, working in Bakersfield. And he take a leave to attend the spiritual convocation in Bowen Park Church. After the spiritual convocation, very tired, he went to the Greyhound bus station and jumped into the Greyhound bus and start to sleep. When the bus stopped and to the destination, he opened the eye. He reached Tijuana, Mexico. Because he did not see the way, the signboard. And he was unable to come back to the United States because he did not have the legal status. But oh, what happened? there was another brother who has an inner connection. Make a few phone calls, and that evening there was another Mexican to smuggle him back to the United States. For $400. But this is the country in the world. In the future, if you go to the wrong way, go to the hell, there's nobody can smuggle you back. No way. That's the final destination. That's the irreversible. Irreversible one. So Jesus said, I am the way. The way lead you to God. You know there's God. How can you connect it to God? Jesus is the way. How can Jesus be the way? Because only Him can wash away your sin. Only Him can forgive your sin. So there is only one Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of founder of religion, only one Savior, because only one person can forgive your sin, Jesus Christ. So He is the way. And the second one is, Jesus is the truth. Let me ask you a question. Can anybody give a definition of truth? No. What is the definition of truth? Philosopher try to ponder every day and night, scratching the head, try to think about what is truth. Then all the hair been scratched out. Where is the truth? What is the truth? Who can give definition? What is the truth? God's word truth. Let's turn to the Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your word is settled in heaven forever. Forever means what? Without ending. From the everlasting past to the everlasting future, your word is settled, will never change, forever. Time can go through the test of times. In heaven means what? You point the finger up, this is heaven. Another 12 hours later, you point the finger up, there's another heaven, right? But the heaven right now you point is different from the heaven 12 years, hours later. So in heaven is every corner in the universe, in every time in the human history, God's word is settled there. So let's go truth. Everywhere is true, and anytime is true. Let's go truth. So is the law of a country a truth? Of course not. You drive in California maybe 65 mile per hour is the law. If you over 65 mile, the police is chasing after you. But if you go to Montana, no limit. you can run as fast as your car can run. Oh, so this is not the truth. Oh, this is a relative truth, not eternal truth. Oh, even the constitution is not the absolute truth. Oh, the absolute truth is God's word, is God himself. And he manifests, become human being, is Jesus. So in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word become the flesh, is Jesus Christ. So Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. It's very important. He is the only one truth. And how come it's so important to understand the truth? Because you need to have the criteria to let yourself know whether I am wrong or I am right. So in this generation, nobody can tell anybody you are right or you are wrong. Everything is relative. 50 years ago, abortion is wrong, but right now, abortion is right. 50 years ago, homosexual is wrong, but right now, if you say homosexual is sin, you commit sin because you have some kind of discrimination. What is the truth? This is not the truth. This human opinion, this is not truth. And where can you come to truth? Anyone who will never change, and that is the truth. And the one who never changed is God himself. In the beginning, God created the universe. So everything beside God was created by God himself. So everything created by God is not true. Only God himself is the truth. Oh. And so Jesus said, I am the truth. Oh. So when you stand in front of God's truth, 4,000 years ago, Moses was proclaimed by God, commit adultery is sin. 2,000 years ago, Jesus proclaimed, commit adultery is sin. Right now, we proclaim, commit adultery is sin. How come it's sin? Because it is truth, because it is the words of God, nothing else. It's come from God, so it's true. If the world can last another 2,000 years, commit adultery is still true, it's still sin. So this is called the truth. Thank God we find the truth. So whatever you do is right, it will forever will be right. Whatever you do is wrong, it forever will be wrong. In the final judgment, God is going to judge not because American standard, year of 2000, the X generation, that kind of standard. No. God is not to judge about Confucian thinking. God is not to judge about contemporary theological thought. God is to judge about his words. So Jesus said, I am the truth. That is the utmost value we have to pursue in our life. The truth, Jesus Christ himself. And this truth will lead us to God. This truth will bring us blessing. And this truth will make us become a righteous person, will sanctify us like a holy person. So this is the most precious one. Jesus said, I am the truth. And I am the life. He himself is the life. So if Jesus dwells in you, you have the life. So somebody's telling me, time is up. Let's sing him.